2. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Oscar and Yankee, looking for check-ins for the Saturday night Liberty Net. The real, the genuine Liberty Net, over.
Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo.
Well, Mr. Clint, you are booming in, and I didn't even hear you down the band.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Same with you.
It is strange, but thank you. It's good to hear you. You're strong coming across that pond.
Across the pond? I'm in Michigan, brother. I'm north of you, aren't you? Aren't you in Ohio?
Yeah, but there's Lake Erie between us.
Really? Okay, well, great. Well, yeah, you're coming in good. You're a strong 5'7", easy.
Alrighty, I didn't mean the big pond, the Atlantic, I meant Lake Erie, so. Alrighty, Clint, let me see who else I can find. CQ, this is KA8JOY for the Great Liberty Net. Please come.
KO4C.
Mr. Bill, I don't think you have your amplifier on yet.
Yeah, hang on, I gotta look at it here. Go ahead and check me in. I'll get this thing. I'd move my station all around. I may have the team switch in the wrong place.
All right. I still hear you 20 over, but I noticed you didn't have that amplifier sound. So thank you, sir. Got you checked in. CQ, looking for check-in for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Well, while we're waiting for other parties to turn their radios on, let me do the introduction. Good evening to all participants on the 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of 1974, founded by the late Victor W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the Great Liberty Net. You can find us on libertynetradio.org. You don't want to wander anywhere else because you'll find some pretty crappy stuff. libertynetradio.org. With that being said, I'm going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let me see who else is waiting. This is KHAY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
Good evening, Mr. Bob. KA4, KA8JOY, CP4, Zebra,
X-ray, Kenneth,
Charlie.
Good to hear you, Mr. Jesse. You're sounding perky, KG4ZX to the C. Are you feeling healthy and how's Sandra?
Well, we're doing good. We're recovering and everything is getting back to normal. If you have a normal now.
Well, like they say, that Doc Holliday said to, the sheriff, I know Kirk Douglas played him, Wyatt Earp. When Doc Holliday said to Wyatt Earp, Doc, I just want a normal life. And they say that Doc Holliday said to Wyatt Earp, Wyatt, there's no normal life, there's just life.
Well, very good point. I guess there. Well, thanks for getting me checked in, and I'll be right here if you need me.
Roger. I've got you on the list. You are number 4. Let me see who else I have. CQ, this is KAAJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
Oh, by the way, how was my signal?
You're about 20. Between 20 and 25 over S9.
Okay, something's working. I agree.
Alrighty, there I got Miss Laura. N2, J, TT, and an F to Miss Laura, along with that Mr. Marty, N2IRJ. I'm sure you guys are listening. I'm sorry I didn't talk long on the phone. We had some friends here. We were cutting up some English roast. It was a delicious meal. Shame you didn't drive over, but at the end of this Liberty Net tonight, I will ring your guys' telephone. So with that being said, let me look and see who else is with us. CQ's the Q. Nothing heard, so I'm going to kick it off. Maybe some will join us here later. I have not read the article. I understand that the 1.3 trillion package has passed in the House of Representatives, of which 13 Republicans voted for it. Apparently the fact that we beat the snot out of them in Virginia, we definitely probably beat them in New Jersey, but amazingly enough, 56 voting machines, they failed during the voting night of all places in Essex County, which I believe is where Newark is, which that town is so blue, they're not allowed to sell red paint. And those voting machines had to go to the warehouse. Oh, I'll bet they protected all of those Republican votes and made sure there was no hanky-panky. Yeah, right. So with that being said, you think these 13 Republican House of Representatives would say, huh, looks like those Trump people and those patriots, they don't want us to vote for this. But those gum-sucked dog breasts voted for it. Hopefully, their tour of duty for this government will be short-lived, and they will be voted out. So, let me see if I have anybody else before I go to Mr. Clint. CQ, CQ, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so Mr. Clint, I'm going to have you open the door. Again, it's good to hear you. Always like speaking with you, like everyone I do, oh really. KC8, Echo Hotel Romeo, without an amplifier, but sounded really good barefoot. What do you got to open the door?
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you very much, Robert. Man, there's like three things I want to go over here, but I'm going to pick one right now, and let's go around and get something else. I got an article here from the Daily Wire. The Biden administration is weighing cutting down the oil pipeline in Michigan as gas prices skyrocket across the U.S. The Democrat resident, poopy pants Joe Biden, his administration is reportedly gathering data on an oil pipeline in Michigan to determine if shutting it down would further increase fuel prices in the region. Duh, of course it's gonna. I can't believe these guys are absolute idiots. We've got a place to live, right? Everybody up there knows this is detrimental to the UP. It's gonna choke us off. Anyway, this quote is saying, we will keep Line 5 pipeline that delivers oil from Western Canada across Wisconsin, the Great Lakes, in Michigan, and into Ontario, would please environmentalists who have urged the White House to block fossil fuel infrastructure, but it would aggravate a rift with Canada and could exasperate a spike in energy prices that Republicans are already using as a political weapon.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
We need a pipeline for U.S. gasoline prices on the highest of years could be political poison for Biden, who has seen his approval crash in recent months. The administration has not yet made a decision about the pipeline, which comes after the Canadian government invoked an old international treaty to stop the state of Michigan from shutting down the pipeline. Sources told Political Pro that the gathering of information on how shutting down the pipeline could impact fuel prices was only given to the
Biden administration a clear picture of the situation.
The move comes as the administration is facing backlash from far-left environmental groups that have watched as Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, stymied their leftist climate agenda. So it's not enough to really put us over the barrel and shut down everything else.
Let everyone
else do what they got to do. Let's just
tighten the grip on our
coat.
Back to you, sir, KCADHR.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's amazing. We used to be energy efficient, and now we're depending on foreign oil again. For some reason, last Thursday, our gas pumps were $2.99 in some of our cities around the Akron area. Today, they're $3.33. I don't know what happened to make a 34-cent increase, but something did besides here we come. We're in November. Let's see, what happens in November? Oh, that's right. People fly to friends' houses, and they drive to Grandma and Grandpa's to celebrate Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. That's right, we need fuel. Amazing. But I had to say, you made a comment. I said it, I think, on the other band. I've got a picture of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And underneath that picture, the caption, Shift and Giggle, is under that photograph. That is so precious. Thank you, Mr. Clint. KCADHR, KHOI. Mr.
Let's
Luke,
go,
find the right wires?
Okay, K8JOY in the Liberty Net from KO4FE. How am I sounding now, Bob?
Looks like you're about 20 over S9.
Okay, roger that. I'm up to full power again. Had my wire cable for the amplifier switched over to the wrong setting or wrong position on the radio, so it wasn't switching the amp on. All right. Well, you know, this election, the Virginia election, they've just, you hear nothing but talk about racism, white supremacy. I mean, it's just like they got a one-track mind. And I'm kind of surprised that that case where the girl got raped in the bathroom seems to not getting much mention anymore because of all the race talk. But if I remember right, that's what really got a lot of people stirred up, was the fact that this so-called, I don't know, his mother says he's not a transgender. I don't know what he was doing. He was wearing a dress, and he was in the girl's bathroom, and he raped a girl in one school, and then they sent him to another school, and he attacked another girl there. I think that's got that, in addition to CRT, that rape got parents stirred up, but they're not talking about that. Everything's race. But anyway, the left is really pushing it. And I got a headline here. Daily Beast op-ed frames white women, Youngkin voters, as, quote, handmaidens of white supremacy, unquote. One Daily Beast op-ed writer who seems to be suffering from severe cognitive dissonance apparently swallowed so much critical race theory propaganda that he does not even seem to realize he is indoctrinated and actively espousing its racist tenets himself. Following a soul-crushing loss for Democrats in the Virginia governor election on Tuesday, the far-left Daily Beast published an opinion piece by Wajahat Ali called, quote, "You Damn Karens Are Killing America," unquote. The article is laden with critical race theory terminology, which is comical considering he repeatedly pretends CRT is not being taught in school and is a so-called manufactured panic by the right, in line with every other left-wing news source and corporate media. Allie rants about how racism is the real reason Youngkin won, rather than engaging in a fair argument or presenting any evidence to back up his assertions. He specifically targets white women in the piece, painting them as villains who enabled Youngkin's win. Also typical of people indoctrinated in CRT, Allie seems to only look through the lens of race to explain why Democrat policies are failing, instead of critically looking at all the reasons people vote the way they do. Throughout the entire piece, Allie makes a caricature of white women and looks at them simply as a homogenous demographic with the sole intent of mashing down minorities, a typical manifestation of CRT's directive to look at the world by race and divide people into oppressed and oppressor categories. At one point, Allie sarcastically wrote that Youngkin, quote, should reserve the parade for white women who came out for whiteness like a Bath and Body Works candle sale, unquote. Though logically, an affinity for nice-smelling candles and soaps extends to women and men of all races and ethnicities. Allie began, ironically, using several terms central to CRT. He said, quote, I never underestimate the white hot rage, anxiety, and resentment of a Karen scorned. You might think you've won them over with Beyonce, Oprah, Chi Latte, and Henna, but the call of Karen will always turn on people of color on a dime to uphold oppressive systems that ensure they remain influential and powerful handmaidens of white supremacy. Allie then cited poll data showing that 75% of white women without college degrees voted for Youngkin and slammed them for voting for him over a, quote, manufactured boogeyman, unquote, despite mountains of evidence to the contrary. He said, they voted for a man whose single campaign message was about stopping the manufactured boogeyman of critical race theory, the latest incarnation of the Southern strategy, which most of his voters can't define and isn't taught in the schools. But they are certain it is absolutely terrifying and worth canceling because it's making their kids hate white people and become transgender. Yeah, we can never accuse this guy of hating white people. Said, in fact, CRT was found being pushed in Virginia schools repeatedly, and then it gives five examples. The author also flippantly brought up the transgender debate without mentioning that a girl was actually raped by a boy wearing a skirt in a Virginia school bathroom, only to have the school board engage in a massive cover-up perpetuated by the Biden administration's subsequent attempt to label conservative parents as domestic terrorism threats. So anyway, I won't read the whole article. It goes on. I got some other ones. But yeah, white women, they're the handmaidens of white supremacy in the view of the critical race theory lunatics. Well, you thought cancel culture was done with statues, but here's another one, Gateway Pundit. Headline, it never ends. New York Times columnist now wants cancel culture to go after classic rock songs. Yeah, they thought it was going to stop with Confederate statues, maybe move into Thomas Jefferson, which it has, George Washington, and let them know the statues aren't the end of it. They're going after rock music now. article says a few years ago when the left started going after historic statues, they claimed it was just about Confederate statues. That was a lie. It was never just about Confederate statues. It was about whomever the left the woke left didn't like. In New York City, leftists got a statue of Thomas Jefferson removed. Now the left wants to go after classic rock songs. And it said New York Times thought police asked, should classic rock songs be toppled like Confederate statues? It says, hide your classic rock LPs. The thought police at the New York Times are coming for them. The New York Times opinion section has run a column advocating for classic rock songs like Don McLean's American Pie to be reconsidered, maybe even toppled like historic Confederate statues, arguing that reevaluating beloved songs will help create a world that is inclusive and more just. Yeah, kind of like Mel's Cultural Revolution did. Other rock singers ripe for cancellation include Eric Clapton, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and even Elvis Presley. Jennifer Finney Boylan, who is a male-to-female transgender, laid out the case in the op-ed titled, Should Classic Rock Songs Be Toppled Like Confederate Statues? Whatever it is, transgender, said, as we take another look at the sins of our historical figures, we've also had to take a hard look at one of our more immediate past and present, including the behavior of the creators of pop culture, Boylan wrote. That reassessment extends now to people who wrote some of our best loved songs. So anyway, continues on, talks about one guy tweeted, I can constantly say this is the top five in the stupidest articles I've ever read list. They want to get rid of the rock songs. I guess I don't know what some of these guys Don McLean ever do. I listened to that American Pie song probably 100 times over the year. I don't remember anything that could even offend anyone. It's a pretty benign song. But anyway, the woke tards want to get rid of it. I'm sure they've come up with some angle or something. All right, I've got a trifecta. I got to get this one in. This is KO4FE. Listen to this. This is what's coming. Unreal. Federal Elections Commission votes to allow foreigners to fund local U.S. ballot initiatives and congressional redistricting efforts. Yeah, eventually they're going to vote to have a vote also. Foreigners, not illegal aliens, not green card holders, but people in other countries. That's where it's headed. As a shocking report by Axios revealed that over the summer, the Federal Elections Commission, otherwise known as the FEC, quietly voted to allow foreign donors, including individuals, companies, and governments, to fund committees that handle local U.S. ballot initiatives. The unbelievable decision also paves the way for any well-funded foreigner to influence key referenda such as congressional redistricting. I mean, this is just staggering when you got foreigners, billionaires, what have you, can come in and influence anything to do with our politics. That should be banned, and here they can influence congressional redistricting. It says prior to Axios' report earlier this week, the July ruling had been mostly unknown to the public and even to most lawmakers. The commission passed the decision with a 4-2 vote to dismiss a 2018 complaint about foreign money spent on a Montana ballot initiative, citing a bogus so-called technicality to get around U.S. laws that prevent foreign nationals from influencing our elections. According to them, ballot measures aren't technically elections, so the traditional election financing laws do not apply. Well, obviously, the intent of the election law in regard to foreign influence was to this for citizens, not for foreigners, especially not foreigners that aren't even in the country. It says the decision only applies to federal law. Now individual states must specifically outlaw foreign funding through their legislatures to protect the sovereignty of their elections. As of now, only 7 states have done so. After finding out about the ruling in the press, like the rest of the public, Representative Mike Gallagher, a Republican from Wisconsin, slammed the agency's bewildering decision, calling nothing short of short-sighted and dangerous. He points out there are no guardrails at all that would prevent hostile enemies of the U.S. from gaining a foothold in important state-level measures, and guarantees that adversaries like Communist China are going to take full advantage of this loophole. Representative Gallagher called on the FEC to immediately reverse their decision, but since they are unlikely to do so, he also implored every state to pass their own laws that would ban foreign donors from contributing to any part of our elections. He said, we don't want any foreign money flooding into our political system, so the FEC should reverse this decision. But failing that, we need states to outlaw it. So anyway, even the leftists were shocked with this. MSNBC characterized the ruling as terrifying and jaw-dropping. Man, if you're shocking MSNBC, you know you've really gone over the bend. Then the article finishes up. It says these swamp creatures at the FEC are the same partisan crooks who ignored buried overwhelming evidence of fraud to deem the 2020 election the most so-called secure election in history. Yeah, right. Now they've officially green-lighted the sale of American interests to the highest bidder. This is criminal. It's really amazing how these unelected bureaucrats just subvert the country every time you turn around. And here, even the politicians were caught off guard, and even the woke tards at the NBC are in shock over this. This is really, I think the Congress needs to act on this. So anyway, back to you, Bob, KAA-JOY, True Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Mr. Bill. Appreciate it. You mentioned about Youngkin, and I think one of the interesting things is the lieutenant governor. It looks like in the state of Virginia, you vote for the lieutenant governor and the governor separately. They're not running mates. So the lieutenant governor, I believe, is Haitian, and she was not a naturalized citizen when she joined the United States Marine Corps. She then was naturalized in the Corps. She's a proud U.S. Marine. She's black. She says she's always been black, and she's proud of America, go USA. And when she was giving her speech before Youngkin came out, CNN, the Clinton News Network, and MSNBC did not air her speech. And then later, those false libtards called her, one of them I heard him call her an oppressed white puppet. She's a black woman. How come everything is race? Everything is race. The race, racialness or racism in America is on life support, and the Democrats and the libtards are keeping it alive. They don't want it to go away. It was going away, especially under Donald J. Trump. Totally amazing. Well, thank you, Bill. I also posted something on there, a commercial, and I'll talk about it on my second turn. So let me clear with Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KHLY. Go to another Pennsylvania party in the great fraudulent state of Pennsylvania. Mr. Jesse.
Check in.
More the Exeter B, KHLY.
Check in.
Go ahead, check in. I'll grab you before Jesse talks.
WB2JA X-ray, Gary.
All righty, Gary, in the great state of New Jersey, I got you on the list. Thank you.
Another check in.
Go ahead for that one.
That's the K4WX.
Hello, Mr. Russ. I was hoping we'd hear from you. I've got you on the list, sir. I'm going to go up to Mr. Jesse now.
Roger, I'm coming in there, Bob.
Well, I would think your amplifier's off.
Well, you're probably right. Yeah, I have lost a connector here that I need desperately to make it work. So, anyway, we're going to try to bring you through it.
You sound better than some people do with that.
Well, thank you, Russ. You know, I always try to give my antenna some special attention every day, if possible. Hey, well, Bob, I'm going to continue. Good evening, everybody. This is KQ4ZX Fantasy out of the state of Pennsylvania. My name is Jesse up here in the Alleghenies. Once again, for the Saturday night living event.
Yep.
Let's see, what did I want to get into tonight, guys? I was reading something of how the media swings and things, but finally getting a little bit busy coming out of DC for a change, coming off of some other websites, but not the mainstream. They will not publish it. Let's see. Let me ask you this one. KP43. Okay. Just make sure things are working. Well, conservative brief is this website. And I've read it on many other ones, but this one seems to tell the story a little bit nicer than some of the other ones. You know, the January 6th protesters have been locked up. Well, federal judge ordered January 6th detainees to be released from D.C. jail after they spotted too many bad issues going on with the place. In other words, the place was a junk. You know, I'm going to read the article and you guys can determine it from this. Anyway, a man from Florida who stands accused of illegally entering the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th has been ordered released from the D.C. jail by a federal judge because of ongoing issues at the facility where he and dozens more suspected charged with crimes stemming from rioting and just being held, not giving their due process, guys. But anyway, the U.S. judge, Roy Lambert, okay, who was appointed in 1980 to file the Reagan issued his order Thursday for Christopher Newell to be released to his home at that point. Worrell complained after officials at the Washington jail complex, which included the D.C. central detention facility, was blocked and recommended operations on his fractured finger and were not given the access to proper medical treatment for his cancer, the Epic Times reported. But anyway, Lambert last night had Washington jail officials in contempt of the matter and referred the matter to other concerns and these alleged cases of mistreatment on January 6th detainees was to the Department of Justice for a potential civil rights investigation to report the report continues. An agency said that we continued to go and receive referrals that the review has been initiated, and the Eastern Times continues to add this other statement in there, but I'm not going to read it because it really gets it to the point, guys. But finally, let's see, Miss Green, the senator for Georgia has actually got up there and got to walk through the prison. So these people are finally being recognized, and they're starting to actually get something done with the process of these individuals that have been stuck in jail by being a political prisoner. So anyway, that's, I'm just going to sum it up there, ladies and gentlemen, we all need to keep these people in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you, Nick. Control KHJY and the Saturday Night Living. Thanks, Bob.
All righty, Jesse. Well, you know what? When it comes to these political prisoners and how they're being treated and being kept in solitary confinement, I particularly believe that this administration is doing that with a purpose to show any other patriots that like Donald Trump and love this country, if you stand up for your rights, we're going to strip you down and put you away. They are definitely going against the United States Constitution, which that crappy Joe Biden, poopy pants Joe Biden, was sworn to uphold. So that is so wrong, and I bet it even keeps people from writing letters to their congressmen, because they're afraid, well, man, if they can do that to them, they can do that to me, over.
Well, that's exactly what's been going on. Everybody here in this country needs you to be aware of what's going on and quit living inside this shell that you call home. You need to get out and start paying attention to everything beyond the one-eyed monster that TV is your deadliest enemy right now. If you're damn movies, don't watch it. And even half of those are propaganda.
Hi, back to you, Bob. Can you go ahead?
All righty, Mr. Jesse. KG4, ZX and C. I put a Necco wafer in my mouth. Just as you gave it back to me. I'm going to go down and say hi to Miss Laura, N2JTT, and N2IRJ. We always got to say Miss Laura first, because she's way cuter than Marty. But that being said, I'm going to jump down to Mr. Gary in the state of New Jersey, where the voting machines in Essex County mysteriously quit working and had to be taken to a warehouse. My, Mr. Gary. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha and an X-ray. What you got for us?
Okay, Bob. Let me see if I'm here. I'm taking some needlework. KA8JOYWB2JAX. Yes, sir, we have a dilemma here in New Jersey, but that's par for the course. And they already picked a new Senate president. I got a kick out of that one, I'm telling you. We may have lost the governor position, but I think. When I heard Governor Idiot talking about the new elected replacing the Senate President, he says he's bummed. He's bummed that this guy is going to be taking a seat in the Senate because he doesn't like what he put on social media, calling Arabs or whatever, religious cuckoo clocks who run around with rags head to toe. I was over in Syria, and I can tell you, it's a disgrace to have those women running around in a whole head cut the toe in one of those burka things or whatever the hell they call them. Anyway, so the guy made some comments about that and some other baloney that normal people do. So anyway, he's bummed. So that's one issue. And the next issue I got, on RT, Russian television, or Russian T, whatever they called it, there was an interviewer who went to the council, he's in London, he went to the council for Bolivia. And let me see if I got my note here. No, that's not right. Anyway, the Bolivia president was, he took over, he won the election, and the great statesman of the United States would like to assassinate the man because he owns a country that has lithium for batteries. They talked about the IMF and all the other control issues about funding and et cetera, on and on and on. But the bottom of the line is that batteries are made out of lithium and cobalt and some other stuff that's in the Congo. So our corrupt government has got to assassinate these heads because they help the people try to get on their feet. But, we can't tolerate them over now. We need to lock them up like Assange over in England. We got to lock them all up. And like you said before, we treat them like dirt. And they're in solitary confinement, according to the Tucker Carlson three-part series on January 6th, which I watched. This whole thing is a conspiratorial, no way of ever putting it. It's a conspiracy against this state and the Constitution. So with that, I'm going to stop windbagging and turn it back to you, Bob.
Well, fortunately, after 10 months, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I don't remember who the male representative was, got in to see the prisoners, and at 9 o'clock every night, the political prisoners of January 6th stand up and sing the national anthem with their hand on their heart. God bless them. We need to pray for these people, and I can only think that we can write letters to our, they encouraged us to call the Washington, D.C. mayor's office and the police department, because they're being held in the Washington, D.C. jail. I would have been happy if Marjorie Taylor Greene would have came to see me, because she got a nice booty, but she finally got in there to see them. So hopefully something will come of that. But they definitely are doing this to show you as an American citizen, if you try to stand up for your rights, we will put you away. That's my personal opinion. So thank you, Gary. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-Ray. I'm going to step down to Mr. Russ. Good to hear you, Russell. KK4WX, KAHJOY.
Okay, that's Bob, K-A-H-J-O-Y, KK4WX, in Southern Georgia. Good evening, everyone, at the Liberty Net. And, regretfully, I have to say that I just was catching Bill as he was commenting the last little bit of words, so I really didn't get Bill's comment. That's when I tuned in on the net. I was a little late getting here, but anyway, I guess better late than never. I'm sure Bill's got another good transmission or two lined up. But got 100% of Jesse's and the other gentleman there from New Jersey. And Jesse, I'm glad you brought that up about the political prisoners.
I watch on Newsmax. I got to where I watch this Newsmax quite a bit on, as far as being on the TV. I'm like you, Jesse. I think we need to get away from the one-eyed monster and not look at it quite as much as what everybody does. But I will say that Newsmax seems to be, I guess, more honest. It seems to be more truthful and pro pro U.S. or right-minded, I guess you could say. I just can't believe all the other garbage that I hear on all the other networks. Of course, I don't hear them. I don't hear them because the only way I hear them is on Newsmax. They'll play little excerpts where Joy Reid or somebody said this or that, it's unbelievable that the crap that they say. But I did watch Newsmax where they had Marjorie Taylor Greene on, and one of our congressional representatives here from Georgia, and I'm like Jesse, she does look very good. She looks fine. And, of course, we got those kind of ladies down here in Georgia. There's a lot of them. But, anyway, I'm glad she's representing us down here in Georgia. I wish my congressman was half of what she is. But, anyway, all the stuff that she was describing, what she was witnessing by going in there, was just horrendous. It's just no reason for it. It's unbelievable. I cannot believe that our country would do this to our citizens. And I mean, people, we're talking about people who committed nothing but a misdemeanor. And that's what she was getting at, a misdemeanor. We're not talking about somebody who's committed a felony. We're talking about most of them are in there for committing a misdemeanor. And for them not to have due process and to at least be given a bond, this is just inexcusable. I tell you, I hope, I don't know if it's as wicked and as wicked and as backwards as this country is becoming, our judges and everything else, just so disappointed in so many ways. I don't know if justice will ever be served, but I truly hope that the mayor of Washington, D.C., along with all of the local government of Washington, D.C., I hope they get their pants sued off. I really do. I hope they get sued. The Capitol Police, every one of them, I hope they get sued till they can't, till they'll have to go somewhere else. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. This is the only way, and if not sued, then maybe criminally prosecuted and put in jail themselves. That's what they need. They need the same kind of treatment as what they're giving the January 6th persecuted. So, anyway, we did have a good result last week in the election. That was somewhat promising. And what happened in Virginia, I understand some good stuff happened in New Jersey too, but unfortunately the governor retained his position. And I just, you know, I find it extremely I just find it extremely unusual that, or strange, that these races would be so close. How could they be that close? How could they be 49 to 49.8 to 49 point
two or whatever. I mean, I don't understand that. I've never seen a race for political office run so neck and neck like this, and I'm just not sure whether I believe it. Matter of fact, I don't believe it. There's some shenanigans going on, and I've been watching a lot of Lindell TV. I don't know if you guys have this frankspeech.com. You can get it on the live on the internet. It's good. I watch it every night. And this Brandon House, he's something else. You need to watch him. And some of the others that's being put on frankspeech.com, or sometimes it's called Lindell TV. But that's another good source. Another source that I would like to give, of course, I think everybody knows around here, is InfoWars with Alex Jones. Man, he's really had some good stuff on about the problems that the so-called jab or shot or vaccine or whatever. It's unbelievable at the stuff that's not necessarily going on in this country, but what's taking place around the world. It's unbelievable. These so-called vaccine passports. They were showing an elderly woman trying to get into a grocery store. I believe they said it was in Italy. And a uniformed police was standing at the door of the grocery store, and he was checking IDs, and he wouldn't let this old woman go in the door and buy some groceries because she didn't have a vaccine passport. From what I've been told, it's going on all over the place, especially in Australia. Maybe New Zealand, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's going on. And, folks, we just got to, I mean, even if you're pro-vaccine or whatever, can't you see that this isn't right? This is wrong. This is wrong, and wrong can be. And if nothing else, we all need to stand together and say, no, we're not going to take it. We're not going to go along with this so-called jab and this mandate and all this. It's just unbelievable as to what this is going through. And then all of a sudden now they're going to give this jab to these children that's as young as 5 years old. Are you kidding me? And this stuff is, even according to the VAERS website, it's already killed over 17,000 been reported on the VAERS website of adults that have lost their lives, let alone children. It's like Alex Jones said, whenever they start to give this shot, and I guess they're going to start any day giving it to children, and all the way as young as 5 years old, you better get ready, because there's going to be a lot of children that are going to die. There's going to be a lot of children that's going to come down with myocarditis, swelling of the heart, so many other problems this thing's causing. So, I'm sorry, I got Jesse on my mind. Anyway, Bob, back up there to you, and I hope you're able to copy this little station down here in South Georgia. KAAJOY from KK4WX.
KK4WX, KJY. I'll tell you what, Russell, this is definitely the sign of the beast, I believe. It is a way that every country on this earth is in the same accord for the New World Order to have something that they can track from the womb to the tomb. It is some scary, scary stuff, over.
Absolutely, Bob. It really is. I'm like you. If it's, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but by God,
it's sure a warming up to it.
They're getting us all prepared for it or something. They're laying it out. And it's one thing if it was just one country or two or something, but this thing has done it worldwide. Now, some countries have stopped giving the vaccine. I believe Japan is one of them. They found out right quick. You get the vaccine and you wind up dying, or you really wind up catching more COVID. There's been more people that's in the hospitals now, Bob, that have gotten the jab and have caught COVID after they've had the jab. Look at Colin Powell. Colin Powell got the jab. What good did it do him? He died from COVID, supposedly, several weeks later or whatever. He was fully vaccinated, they said. So a lot of good the vaccine did for him. A lot of good the vaccine did for old Colin, old turncoat Colin Powell, KAHJOY from KK4WX.
I have to admit, that saddened me that he turned the coat. I liked him as a general. I thought he possibly could run for that office, and then he had a bone in his butt against George Bush, and he definitely didn't like Trump. So, kind of funny. Well, let me see if anybody else knew, and then I will go to the top of the list. This is KAHJOY with the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard. Well, my next one, let me click on my computer here. So I was looking at this article. I saw it last night on Greg Kelly, a Dallas area real estate agent who bragged she would not go to prison participating in the January 6th Capitol incident because she was white and blonde, was sentenced to 2 months in prison. So Jennifer Ryan of Frisco, Texas, arrived in Washington on a private jet to hear then-President Trump speak at the rally at Congress, was verified by President Biden's Electoral College victory. Prosecutors sought prison time for Ryan after she appeared to a perceived lack of remorse for her actions at the Capitol. Now, this woman is definitely a blonde, pretty real estate agent. She's got a USA scarf on, and she's got a big, you know, USA hat. And she was in the Capitol for 2 minutes and 18 seconds. And she's just in the crowd on her phone. She flew in on a private jet. She caused no damage. She caused no injuries. And in fact, if we watch the videos, you see the Capitol Police directing people into the Capitol. And when she was sentenced, the judge, she stated on air last night that the judge said that they were going to have to make an example out of her. And they really feel that the example is because she really was the face of the organization of a lot of people. And she flew in on a jet. Oh my God, that piece of crap! She used precious fuel. But doesn't John Kerry fly to the summit for our green piece on a private jet because he's too good to fly in a commercial jet? And didn't our spooky pants Biden an 85-car procession when he was at the G7 summit? 85 motor vehicles. They're all big, they're all heavy, and they're all burning fuel. But that's okay, that doesn't count when we're dealing with them. It's only when we're dealing with you and me, the common peasant, that it matters. So, pretty sad. Well, Mr. Clint sent a message. Hey guys, I gotta go. 16-year-old daughter isn't home yet, and she isn't answering her phone. Fingers crossed and prayers to you, Mr. Clint, that everything's okay. Most likely it is, but these kids sometimes. With that being said, let me go back to Mr. Bill for round number two, KO4FEKAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY. In the true Liberty Net, this is KO4FE. Yeah, okay, I hope nothing's going on with Clint's daughter. Yeah, 16 years old, that's when it started getting into trouble, but I hope nothing to worry about. Maybe her battery went dead or something innocent like that. But anyway, you know, I got an article here. This is written by Juan Williams for The Hill. Juan Williams is such a mediocre intellect. He usually only uses talking points. And he doesn't have anything new to say. He usually just, you know, regurgitates the standard Democrat talking points. And that's what he's doing here. He's on the CRT anti-white bandwagon again. He says parents' rights is code for white race politics. He says after white supremacists spilled blood in defense of keeping up Confederate statues in 2017, the GOP candidate for governor of Virginia, Ed Gillespie, said the monument should stay up as a matter of heritage and history. Well, I agree with that. His TV advertising featured threatening images of Latino gangs labeled illegal immigrants involved in murder and rape. Oh yeah, those Latino gangs, they don't exist. I mean, hell, if they could say CRT exists, I could say that the Latino gangs don't exist. They're just, you know, they're not doing anything wrong. But anyway, it says the racially loaded culture wars campaign straight from then-President Trump's playbook gave Gillespie a push, but he ultimately lost the race to Democrat Ralph Northam. Yeah, that's the guy that was dressed up in a KKK outfit in his college yearbook. It says now Virginia Republicans are back with a new and improved culture war campaign for 2021. The closing argument is once again full of racial division. See how he puts the race problem on the Republicans. They're responding to the anti-white lunatics on the Democrat side. Said, but this time it's dressed up as a defense of little children. The rallying cry is parents' rights. You know, I have to say that in the news coverage of these school board meetings, I've seen a lot of non-white parents involved in them. I don't think they're too much into transgenders raping girls in bathrooms either, or they're not, they're probably not big on the CRT stuff. Anyway, it says it is a campaign to stop classroom discussion of Black Lives Matter protests or slavery because it could upset some children, especially white children who might feel guilt. Well, first off, you know, it can't be said too many times that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist movement. It was founded by black lesbians who identified themselves as trained Marxists. And he makes it sound so innocuous. And, of course, he doesn't give a damn if children are upset. I mean, why should grade school children get upset over anything they're being taught? I mean, white kids, anybody. I mean, why should children go to school to be traumatized by these woke-tard teachers? But he doesn't care about that. Anyway, it said this time the Trump imitating Republicans think they have struck political gold. No, they've just hit on an issue, and that obviously the majority of people in the state think is a bad thing. It says, unlike the earlier defense of Confederate monuments, parent rights campaign's message at first glance looks to have zero to do with race. That puts Democrats on the defensive. They are in the uncomfortable position of calling the attention of suburban white mobs to divisive racial politics being used by Republican Glenn Youngkin's campaign. Harry McAuliffe, the Democrat, called the Republican message a so-called racist dog whistle. Oh, yeah, nothing racist or anti-white or anti-lunatic on the Democrat side. You know, it was Democrats that didn't want to even cover this story of the girl getting raped by this so-called boy in a dress. And the Democrats on the school board tried to cover it up. Yeah, he doesn't even get into that part. He said there was a long history behind the latest racist political appeal. And he goes on, you know, it's just, and he says, he calls it an obscene attack that these parents are set up with this woke-tard garbage. In Florida, right-wing, he categorizes them right-wing parents. He doesn't even know whether they're right-wing, maybe liberals with half a brain, what they are. Complained that fourth graders had to learn how to spell isolation and quarantine. The parents said those are scary words. I think he just threw that in there. Polls show big money coming from the right has resulted in the parents' right movement gaining traction among white voters. If it works, Republicans will have a reason to continue down the dark path to winning elections. Well, I think there was, Youngkin got a majority of the Latino vote, so what's Juan Williams going to say about that? Now, here's a story. This is Daily Mail. This is kind of funny. It said, whoops, CRT advocate Ibram X. Kendi is mocked for deleted tweet about how white college applicants are lying about their race to get accepted because it undermines his argument about white privilege. This is funny. Ibram X. Kendi posted and then deleted a tweet promoting an article which stated that white college applicants pretend to be non-white in order to gain acceptance, which his critics claim contradicts his own theories about white supremacy and privilege. A controversial anti-racist article and Boston University professor tweeted a link to this to an article from The Hill. And it said more than a third of white students lied about their race on college applications, and about half of these applications lied about being Native American, Kendi tweeted. More than three-fourths of these students who lied about their race were accepted. Hey, I think you're going to see a lot more of this kind of crap, you know. If they're going to discriminate against white people and the left says race is a social construct and people can be whatever they are, they claim, what are they going to do DNA tests on the students now to prevent this? I think it's a good idea. Said the Hill cited a survey by Intelligence which found that 34% of white students falsely claimed they were a racial minority. How do they know they were falsely claimed it? Most of those students, 81%, said that they lied in order to improve their chances of getting accepted, while half of them said they did it in order to qualify for minority-focused financial aid. Where's the white privilege? You got white people claiming to be non-white in order to get all these benefits and privileges. Doesn't sound like it's white privilege. Sounds like it's more like it's bad to be white. Nearly half, 48%, wrote on their application that they were Native American, while 13% said they were Hispanic. One in ten wrote that they were black. 9% said they were Asian or Pacific Islander. Kendi is the director of Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research. God, talk about a worthless organization. He is also the author of 3 best-selling books. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. There's more than enough bloke-tards to buy those kind of books, including How to Be an Anti-Racist, which really means how to be an anti-white, which became more popular in the wake of last year's police-involved death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Listen to this. He was also named by Time Magazine as one of the most influential people in the world. Yeah. I mean, we could see where Time Magazine's mind's at. I mean, this guy's a fraudster, and he's influential. Says born Ibram Henry Rogers, Kendi changed his middle name to Zolani, which means peace in Zulu, and his surname from Rogers to Kendi when he got married after choosing the new name together. Kendi means loved one in Maru. I don't know what Maru is. His area of expertise, anti-racism, anti-whiteism, has been mentioned in the same breath as critical race theory, which critics say is being taught to children to indoctrinate them about the evils of being white. It's not the critics are saying it. The anti-whites brag about it. They put it on their websites. They're denied it only when they get called out for it. Said those against critical race theory have argued it reduces people to categories of privileged or oppressed based on their skin color. Supporters say the theory is vital to eliminating racism because it examines the ways in which race influences American politics, culture, and the law. Well, here we've got a good example of race affecting college admissions. And if you're a white person and you lie and claim you're non-white, then that increases your chances of getting into college. Sounds like you got non-white privilege, which is what you've got in this country. It definitely ain't white privilege. Says last year, Kendi sparked controversy after saying Supreme Court nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett was a racist white colonizer for adopting 2 black children from Haiti and using them as so-called props. On Twitter, Kendi's critics said that his deleting of the tweet was an admission that his philosophy is false and that this country does not oppress non-whites. Jack Posobiec tweeted, Ibram X. Kendi accidentally admits minority students have a better chance of getting into college. He deletes the tweet. Posobiec said Kendi deleted it after realizing he had just debunked his life's work in one tweet. When Posobiec bragged on Twitter that he broke Kendi, the author accused him of employing a racist trope. God. So anyway, he goes on to talk about white enslavers boasting of breaking black people after Kendi got exposed for hypocrisy and debunking his own theories. And then he says, the resistance never stopped then, and it won't stop today. He's still complaining. Journalist Andy No tweeted, he said, celebrity critical race academic Ibram Kendi tweeted out a story about how white university applicants identified as people of color for better treatment. He deleted the tweet after realizing it didn't advance his argument of systemic white privilege. Another Twitter user said Ibram X. Kendi deleted this tweet about college admission when people noticed it undermined his entire life's work by claiming America's rife with white supremacy. Kathy Young tweeted, Well, LOL, not a good day to be Ibram X. Kendi. So please tell me more about that big, bad, evil boogeyman of white privilege, Ibram X. Kendi, tweeted Paul Slenick. So anyway, old Kendi kind of stepped in it there, but he just basically, this article just confirms what everybody already knows, and the students know this because that's why they're lying about being non-white. They know it helps them get into college. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAHJOY, True Liberty Net, KO4FE.
All righty, Bill, thank you. I'm going to comment on your last statement, but first I'm going to say hi to Dan, NW4NS. He's on here with us. I've got you on the list. And Richard, a retired U.S. Air Force, KN4MAA from Kentucky. So I will get to both of you. And as far as your comments, Mr. Bill, so isn't it amazing they are lying about their race? What presidential candidate lied about her background or race? Elizabeth Warren said she was Native American. Not over.
Yeah, Roger, and I think that Kamala Harris is kind of fudged around on her background.
Yeah, she's not black or African American. She is dark complexion, but she's not a African American. She is not from that area of the world. So she's kind of lying by saying she's black and brown and all that other stuff. She's a Miss Giggle. So thank you, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KHOY. Let me jump down to Jesse. I hope your signal's a little stronger. KG4CX Tennessee, KAHJOY.
Okay, Bob, am I coming in okay?
You're kind of light, but I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, seems like the band's been shifting a little bit all afternoon. All right, well, I'll try to make it quick there, Bob.
Okay, it's all yours.
I was trying to get back to my article. Well, let's see. Bill, good to hear you, sir. And yeah, you touched on a lot of different points altogether. And and you can't make this stuff up. TRTs and the FRTs and the acronyms for this and that, and they still don't make it. It's amazing. All right, this is KG4, we have three living at IMF DC. You just got the call, and I'm up in the Allegheny Mountain Cliffs. It's cold outside, guys. Anyway, Ocon Lewis is pulling his crap, and I hope one day he'll get busted. But let's not talk about Tom Lewis. I want to change the subject just a little bit here about one of our favorite guys who brings in the COVID with a bang. Well, geez, I want to bring up this off of Big League Politics, which has Bill Gates. It warns of coming bioterrorist small pandemic. If world does not submit to the elite, now that's the highlighted part of it. Well, first of all, I'll have to give in to the elite. My personal thought. Hey, going into this, Bob, tell me if I'm losing power.
You're about the same. As I said, you're kind of light, but I hear you okay.
Okay, I'm getting some fights here on the media. It's just kind of threw me off. Hey, well, I'll continue. Anyway, here in there, Lowell, and he was a huge executive of Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Gates is one of his biggest fans. Anyway, Bill Gates recently warned of a bioterrorist smallpox pandemic that will likely occur if the world does not submit to the technocrat mandated
mandate the global awake quickly enough. I'm hoping in 5 years I can launch a full strong. We are ready for the next pandemic, but it's all 13 companies in art, research, and development. The U.S. and the U.K. will be part of that, he said, during an appearance on policy meetings with U.K. Chairman of Health and Social Care Select Committee. How many committees do we need? You know, we need a committee of our own. We the people, and fire every single one of these people. We got a committee for everything. I wonder if they got one to wipe their butt. Well, anyway, this committee would generally think. I don't believe it. Anyway, I'll say probably about $1 billion a year for the pandemic transport at the WHO level, which is doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call quarantine, where you practice the addict. This guy's playing with our lives, guys. Anyway, these so-called germ games already are eerie enough, and it's part of this game of functional mad science routine, they say, funded by the American Medical Insurance, and it's all people, you know, Gates committed Cougars, even darker than later to you. If you heard about those goes to people, the dogs and all these animals, and the kids already be in jail for including among, you know, causing this whole chaos here in the United States. Anyway, you say, okay, what if a biological test brought a smallpox to CNN, or do you know what would be worth the cost of that? They call it epidemic, the minor terrorists called epidemic that even be way worse than what we experience today, he said. So, I'm going to say this. First of all, what the hell does he have any decision-making in what goes on in this world for the first thing? Because to me, a billionaire like this ought to be already locked up in a mental institution just for even thinking like this. Hello? Wake up, America. This guy's already put the COVID on everything, buddy. Now he's talking about a pandemic of new evil and outbreaks of smallpox. So, what does this guy know that everybody else, unless he created this, he's part of the problem, ladies and gentlemen, and this guy has got to be decommissioned. Alright, well, I ain't going to talk too much longer because I'm running out of room here. But this is KP4ZXC in the Butterfly Store, Pennsylvania, back to San Diego. Hey, J.O. White, and this 32 year.
Alrighty, Mr. Jesse, I have to tell you that one of the newcomers to the NetLogger typed in there, someone buy that man an amp. Yeah, you're really light. He's having a hard time hearing you, Kentucky. I could hear you, but yeah, you were light. But good, thank you for your comment. KG4ZX in the C. With that, I'm going to say hi to Miss Laura, N2JTT, N2IRJ. Laura typed a welcome to Mr. Rich, retired U.S. Air Force. So, with that being said, let me go down to New Jersey. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha in an X-ray. Mr. Gary, round number 2.
Okay. Oh, boy. I got a frog. Hang on a second.
All righty. Choke that frog.
Okay, Bob. KAHJOYWB2JAX, frogless right here. Hello to Laura, also.
but very good comments tonight. I really enjoyed this net. I'm such a windbag anyway, but I like what people have to say. All right, I got some notes here that I made from listening to WBAI, which was talked about Wednesday on the Liberty Net by W2GIO. So he mentioned WBAI, which is a communist network. Pacifica out in California runs the whole show, but WBAI in New York is one of the, I guess it is the group that runs it, Pacifica. So they have this union man, Rick Smith, and he keeps talking about how everybody's got to be unionized and et cetera, on and on. And he says his position is that if you're not union, you're not making any money, which is almost true, but he talks communism to the extent. I have to turn him off. I'm a 42-year Teamster, by the way. I got fired twice because the damn Teamsters collude with the companies and they fire you on bullshit. So anyway, that's number one. Number two, the FBI is investigating Vertius, that O'Neill fella that is blowing the whistle on. He's taking the place of a Julian Assange. He's letting all the stuff out. So the FBI went over there and raided his house. I don't know what's going to happen in that. And number three is this illegal alien. I don't know if it was brought up. He kills his family member that he was put in with by, I guess, a church. I'm not sure how that worked. But he claimed he was, when he crossed the border illegally, he said he was a child. He was under 18, I guess. And he killed the father of the home he was staying in. And they found out he was 23 years old, a habitual criminal from Mexico. So this is what's going on in our lovely border, open border baloney. So that's number three. And number four, El Salvador, this is from RT America. El Salvador went on Bitcoin for the currency of the country. And with that, there is a volcano that they tapped into with, I guess, tunnels or whatever. It's driving seven turbines, or steam turbines, and it's producing all kinds of electricity or whatever, and they only run three of them for the electricity, and two of them they sell electricity. I believe that was part of it. But anyway, that was all I have to say. And also the dog whistle Democrats. I don't know how anybody really looks at even Fox News and all these other ones. I don't know how anybody can believe anything anymore when we know what's going on and nobody can do anything about it. Nobody can do anything about it. That's what is the dilemma. I think we ought to start dumping potatoes on the highway like they do in France to stop all this baloney. So anyway, let me turn it back over to you, Bob. KA8JOYWB2JAX.
All righty, Gary. Yes, potatoes on the highway. That'd be like throwing pumpkins down there and making it slippery. So WB2JAX, KHAY. Thank you, sir. Down to Mr. Russ in the great state of Georgia. KK4WX, KA8JOY.
Okay, Bob. KA8JOY from KK4WX. First off, I just wanted to comment on Jesse Pinkel. Jesse, you're really doing great down here in southern Georgia. I don't know why Bob's having a little issue. I guess the conditions must be more ballistic conditions than it is your signal. Either that conditions are blowing good down here. You're peaking sometimes 20 dB over S9. I've never seen your signal really below S9, so it's been anywhere from mainly fluctuating around 10 dB to 20 dB over S9. It's a very, very loud, strong signal. Good copy all the way around. And thanks everybody for the comments. For many, I don't even know where to start. And Bill, you hit on a good point on the reverse discrimination kind of thing. There's not a whole lot can be said there, except for it's been going on for a long, long time. And we all know it. Look at our monuments, our statues, and the things of this nature. This capital culture and this woke business and all. But I think, at least in Virginia anyway, some of these people are starting to fight back. They're not gonna take it. And that's the stuff that's going on. They're just sick and tired of it and being told that the adults don't have anything to say when it comes to teaching their children. They just have to sit down and shut up and let the government mold their minds into a nice little communist or something. So that's the way they want you to be anyway. And the gentleman up there in New Jersey, some good comments, Jesse. Your comments are very, very good too. Just all the way around, so much to comment on. I don't think I can get to it. But there was something that my wife sent me that I thought you folks might find it kind of interesting. It says the U.S. 100 Centennial Flag Update. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It says, for those who have been following the path of the Centennial Flag, we have some disappointing news. Since the office of the Speaker of the House has denied our request to unfold the flag, present it, and refold it on the exact spot where each unknown soldier lay in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda before being interned on the East Plaza in Arlington National Cemetery. This special United States flag followed the footsteps of the World War I unknown soldier from America to France and now back to America. As attended by Congressman Hamilton Fish III, the tomb of the unknown soldier rises above politics, religion, race, and status. It is the one place we can, as United Americans, come to honor service and sacrifice. That was in 1921, but unfortunately, America today is deeply divided by politics. The centennial of the tomb of the unknown soldier provides our nation an opportunity to stand united, provided an opportunity to look beyond our differences and remember. This special flag has been flown or presented at key locations in the history of the World War I unknown soldier starting in Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day 2021. Former and current guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier have protected this flag on its journey just as they protect unknown soldiers buried on the East Plaza of the Memorial Amphitheater. The raising of the special flag symbolized the start of this unknown soldier journey from small town America to the battlefields of France, and the flag symbolizes this unknown American.
This journey allowed American Gold Star mothers and former and current guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to unite in this journey that ultimately resulted in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It was next flown aboard the USS Olympia at the Independence Seaport Museum on September 27th, marking the 100th anniversary of the start of the Olympia mission to bring the Unknown Soldier home. From October 21st to 23rd, 2021, the flag was flown at each of the American Battle Monument Commission cemeteries in France, where candidates were chosen in 1921, starting with the St. Nero American Cemetery. It was next flown at the I'm not sure I can pronounce that, AISNE Barn and Somme American Cemeteries, and finally the Meuse Argonne American Cemetery. It was here that the flag was touched to the headstone of each of the candidates not chosen on October 24th, 1921, as this is the cemetery where they were reburied. Symbolically, it once again brings together the four unknown Americans who served as candidates on the day. This is KK4WXRID. Says, on the evening of October 23rd, the flag was draped across an empty casket in the Hotel de la Ville and Champlain, France, marking the 100th anniversary of when the French military stood the death watch over our four unknown candidates, each arriving that day from four different locations and times. The French, who are still deeply moved by this unknown American's willingness to leave this country to help keep them free, watched over our fallen until a joint American-French death watch was put in place late in the evening and through the early hours of October 24th. Anyway, it goes on and on. I'm going to stop right there because it's getting a little lengthy, Bob, and the rest of you guys. But just to make a long story short, the news I was trying to present is it looks like Nancy Pelosi is halting that this year. So what a surprise. What a scumbag this woman is. I mean, and of all things, I did hear, too, that according to Marjorie Greene, our, again, representative from Georgia, would you believe that she is house hunting in Florida? She's looking for a home in Florida. I guess she's done messed up her home residence state so bad and everything's gone to cuckoo there, so now maybe she's going to come to Florida and maybe give it a try and see if she can mess it up. KAHJOY from KK4WX.
All righty, Mr. Russ. Thank you. I'm kind of surprised at that. KK4WX, the band seems to be changing, but we'll pursue. I'm going to go down to Mr. Dan. I've got two new people checked in. First, I'm going to go to Mr. Dan in Virginia. KW4 November Sierra. Mr. Dan, good evening. Got anything on your mind? Over.
Hey, Robert. I don't know you for enough, but anyway, I wanted to say hello to everybody on the newly, once again, really red state of Virginia, where we are rather proud of how things turned out. We still got a long way to go. We've got a hell of a mess to untangle down here. And I keep telling people, start writing down, start getting with your congressmen. They are going to get stuck in committee for this, first week of January, and then they get that kind of Democrat home down, and so, get on it. But, we're this has been an exciting week, and I think it's got a lot of us kind of scrambling a little bit. Everybody thinks it was about education and humility. That's how the Democrats are explaining the law. It's not about that. It's about the fact that the Redskins state is just beginning to wake up and get sick and tired of being ran by the Greek guys in the D.C. Conference. But anyway, I don't really have a whole lot else to throw out there. It's been kind of a wild week, so thanks for a month. I'm sure I have more to say about it.
Well, Dan, I think it's exciting that the state of Virginia got a new governor, and that black female lieutenant governor who served in the United States Marine Corps, I will definitely be looking forward to seeing what they do. He said on day one, no critical race theory. He said three things. Day one was no critical race theory, no mandates, and do you remember what the third was?
No, I do not.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he takes that state. God bless him. With that being said, I'm clear with NW4NS, and I'll go to Mr. Richard. I think, Richard, this is your first time with us here on the Liberty Net. Kilo November 4, Mike Alpha Alpha. And I looked at you, said you were retired United States Air Force. Thank you for your service. I say that from a proud Gold Star father of a United States Marine. So, Mr. Richard, I'm going to pass the baton to you. Over.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Hey, can you guys hear me okay? I'm trying to throw out about 300 watts right now.
You're doing pretty good here in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, that's Ohio, though. You know how it goes. We kind of live next to each other.
I know it was a little tough trying to hear a little bit from Pennsylvania and Virginia, so I wasn't sure if those all could hear me or not.
I'm not sure whether they can, so let me see if I can get a signal report from anybody else around there.
Real loud down here in southern Georgia, KK4WA.
Yeah, I can hear him just fine. Not blasting him, but he's definitely perfectly copyable.
I hear him just fine.
All right, Richard, it sounds like everybody hears you. I got one other thing I want to say before I pass the baton. Over.
Good.
So, again, thank you for your service. I'm looking at your QRZ page with your fire service. I also have 13 years as a fire medic and chief engineer and 30 years in law enforcement. So we have something in common. So with that being said, the frequency is yours.
All right. Hey, thanks. I did 43 for the Air Force. I was a doc. Didn't have a first name. Just medic or doc. So that's what I got called all the time. Independent paramedic for the Air Force for years. I was also a nationally registered paramedic for the civilian side of the house, too. And then I flew medevac out of Scott Air Force Base for 9 years. Had a ball doing that. My last job, I got to go out to the Utah Test and Training Range out in the desert of Utah and blow up nuclear missile motors. I don't care how old you are, I don't care what gender you are, you still giggle like a little girl when 33,000 pounds of that explosive goes off and creates a hole 60 feet deep and 60 foot in diameter. I don't care what mood you're in, you still giggle. I mean, you just have a good time going out there. I mean, what other crazy bunch of EOD guys going out and blowing things up. But I retired back in early 2008, February the 1st. Joined the local fire department here in Kentucky. I'm originally from Indiana, and I married a girl from Little Woodbury, Kentucky, population of 43. And we moved back here because she didn't want to move back to the flatlands of Indiana, because she said if she stood on her six back, she could see hell and didn't like that out there. So now I'm living here in the foothills, and there's not a single flat place on this property that I own, and trying to mow it is a pain in the royal backside. Started with the fire service, then went to college and finished my fire associate's degree there, and then went on to Western Kentucky and finished my bachelor's up, and then next thing I know,
because I had a degree in fire science, they made me the training officer, and 4 years later, I became fire chief. So, holding that position now as the chief, I've been working on some stuff. The past couple of months, we just got 72,000 dollars in an AFG grant. We're buying some new equipment and then getting some new NSA SCBA units, and we're also getting the first for the county a brand new Cascade air bottle fill station with a compressor. That sucker is about $48,000 alone. So we'll have one of the only new and updated and safety systems in the county. So we've already made the personal invite to everybody. If they need to come fill bottles, they can do it at our firehouse in a nice control climate and enjoy that. But no, I decided, listen, kind of agree with a lot of things you guys talked about.
Not too thrilled about, you know, that crazy psycho Pelosi and Joe and that thing they call a vice president. But you know how that goes.
Here in Kentucky, we're just prepping. You know how we go. Between me and about four other vets that I'm friends with, we don't have a perfect Marine yet. We got our Navy guy, we got our Air Force guy, and we almost had a Toasty, but he was out puddle hopping for something. I don't remember what he was doing.
Yeah, we're doing okay here, but we're waiting. I put in a feel that decides that Kentucky needs to be harassed because they're going to see more lead than the Afghans did. So, but other than that, that's about a whole lot going on here. Just kind of getting some stuff organized tonight and getting a few things taken care of. Had a computer crash, so I'm trying to go re-update everything on the computer and trying to get everything hooked up again and running on it. It's not like I'm suffering, though. I've got one computer for every HF rig in here, so that way each HF has a computer-operated system to run from, and I even got my wiring reps all wired up to its own computer, so it not only looks like a ham shack, it looks like a network station in here, too, so I think the only thing I'm missing is all the components to AT&T, but anyway, thank you, guys. I appreciate you letting me stop in and say hi, and I'll turn it back to you. This came for MAA, Rich over here in Morgantown, Kentucky.
All righty, KN4MAA, thank you for joining us. Please stick around with us. We got one more round, but every Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wander over to QRZ and click on my page. It'll give you an idea where I'm at. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to say, I have my own SCBA. So when I need the bottle full, I'll head down to Kentucky. We can fill the bottle and have a cup of coffee. And I say this with all respect. My United States Marine, MARSOC son, always called it the chair force because he thought it was so wonderful when the Air Force was around because they had such comfortable facilities, such good food, and such great internet. And he loved, and I mean he adored, the A-10 Warthog. Over.
Oh, yeah. Just a quick one. Got stationed, had to do a quick tour down in Haiti. When President Aristide got kicked out of office and the whole country went to crap in a handbasket. And we were there with the Marines. And there was a couple of them. They had a Navy doc with them, and me and the Navy doc hooked up and we were working together. I had a full medical attempt. I mean, I got to see my own patients. I diagnosed, I prescribed medications. You know, I did Zuni control. I was the vet. I did everything. Well, the Marines were literally sleeping in these little one-man pup tents. And we're out there in these big trash tents with heat, air, power, light, internet. We had an Xbox going. We had a 25-inch television screen. We were all cracking out on Halo. And I went out one afternoon. I was wearing my scrubs. And I had a cup of coffee. And one of those guys just looked at me and I was like, you want some good coffee? He's like,
you got coffee? And I'm like, yeah, I got a whole pot in here. You want cream and sugar too? And he's like, you got cream and sugar? I'm like, oh yeah, we're in the Air Force. What do you think we've got?
I mean, we got internet in here too. You need a hookup? You need a cell phone? I got a cell phone right here if you need to call somebody. And he's like, can I call my wife? I'm like, yeah, sure, come on in. He came in the tent and he saw us all cracking out on Halo. I thought, he's going to lose it. But man, I hooked those guys up big time. We got them all sorts of stuff. And of course, the French was there, and I had actually ran into two flight nurses that were stationed in Haiti with me that I was stationed with in Afghanistan / Tajikistan just a year prior. So they brought over some of the nice food from the French side, along with a bottle of some stuff that they weren't supposed to have. And yeah, I took care of those guys because the Marines and the Aussie Marines saved my backside in Iraq at Baghdad Airport. So I owed them quite a bit. Pay them for MA.
Well, thank you for your service, and as I said, Robert definitely was proud to be a U.S. Marine and a MARSOC Marine. He was a 27-year-old gunnery sergeant before the injury, and he died on his birthday. So if you look at my QRZ page, you'll see that beef. But he loved what he did, but he sure enjoyed when the Air Force was around. So thank you, Richard. We're going to go through the list one more time. I'm going to throw out a quick one so I get to everybody else. It's from the Epic Times, the United States. It says, U.S. military hindered by the brutal bureaucracy in countering China. The United States' ability to develop military technology is being hamstrung by a brutal bureaucracy with the risk-averse culture that is preventing it from adequately countering China's arms development, according to the Pentagon's second-highest-ranking officer. The pace China is moving and the trajectory that they're on will surpass Russia and the United States if we don't do something to get ahead of it, said General John Hyten, Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Defense Writers Group, meeting on October 28th. It will happen, he said. Hyten's comments came a week, let me flip the page, a week after a U.S. hypersonic missile test fired, no failed, and as the Chinese Communist regime continues to ramp up its military modernization. He also echoed concern recently expressed by his distant supervisor, Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, what a turd, after reporting Chinese supersonic missile test. Milley referred to the test as a very significant event and liked it to the one that more tense moments of the Cold War. I don't know if it's quite a Sputnik moment, Billy said on the 27th, but I think it's very close to that. It has all of our attention. Well, it does definitely need to get more of their attention. I won't read the whole article, but you see where, unfortunately, our military is headed under Poopy Pants Joe, so we have to get control of that. Mr. Clint is back. Apparently, his daughter is okay. So that's wonderful, Mr. Clint. We're on the 73 round. Sir, KCH, EHR, your final thought.
All right, Robert. How's my signal? Do I sound okay, over?
You're about 30 over S9.
Awesome stuff. Okay, I don't know if this got covered at all or not, but yes, my daughter's doing fine. Thank you very much. All right, you guys hear about the federal court freezing Biden's vaccine mandate? Over.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, this is on the resistthemainstream.org. Federal court freezes the Biden vaccine mandate over possible, quote, this is their quote now, grave statutory and constitutional issues. A U.S. federal appeals court issued a stay on Saturday, temporarily halted Democrats, vaccine mandate that would have required companies with at least 100 employees to get vaccinated for the coronavirus to be tested weekly. The ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth District Court stated the following. They said that before the court,
before the court is the petitioner's emergency motion to stay enforcement of the occupational safety administration November 5th, 2021 emergency temporary standard, which is the mandate, pending expedited judicial review, because the petitions give cause to believe there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate. The mandate is hereby stayed pending further action by this court. And there's a court says yesterday sued the Biden admin over this unlawful OSHA-backed mandate. And it was said that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, that's what he said in that statement. And he said, we won just this morning, citing grave statutory and constitutional issues, that it stayed the mandate. The fight is not over, and I will never stop resisting this admin unconstitutional overreach. Thank you, sir.
Well, I know what is it? 18 of the states are suing him against his mandate, but they're doing it individually and not collectively, so that it'll keep the federal government busy. Isn't that a shame? And it's our money that's going to keep them busy, and hoping to get this all to go to the Supreme Court. Over.
Yeah, I saw a list somewhere about the states. It was like 5 or 6 of them. I can't remember how many, but I thought I heard that they were all suing together, but that's great. If you get it separately, not collectively, that's great.
18 of them are doing it separately, so that's a great thing. All righty, Mr. Clint, anything else you want to throw out before I move along?
Well, I just wanted to wish everybody 73s. I did have one more quick thing. I'll just read real quick here. Oh, Logan County School. You guys remember the issues they were having with all the pornography and everything that they put inside the schools? And you heard about how they had teenage boys dressed in lingerie giving lap dances to the grown men there? I'm sure you guys have heard about that. Well, now, this just came out in nationalfile.com. Robin County School Counselor is arrested for sex and defense. Marking far left district's latest scandal. Thank you, sir.
Well, that place can't stay out of the news. It's pretty good. All righty, Clint. Thank you, sir. Riding along till the end. KC8EHR, KJY. Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KJY. Your final thoughts, Mr. Bill?
Okay, KAJOY, LibertyNet. From KO4FE. Yeah, it sounds like you got a bunch of perverts running that Loudoun school board crying out loud. Well, anyway, here's a couple stories. This one is one that just came out. I'm surprised it took this long for it to come out. But anyway, this is Fox News. It says Lindsey Graham told police to use their guns against January 6th rioters. Take back the Senate. You know, I've never liked Lindsey Graham. I always thought it was a shame that he replaced the great Jesse Helms, who was a senator for 30 years. I thought he was a good man. The guy even passed away on July 4th. I can't remember the year. I think it was probably at least 10-15 years ago, but Jesse Helms would never vote for anything the liberals wanted, and so they used to call him Senator No. It's just a shame that he was a good man like Jesse Helms was replaced with this clown Lindsey Graham. But anyway, let's get into this story. Says Republican Senator Lindsey Graham urged Capitol Police to use their guns and regain control of the Capitol on January 6th, a new report details. He said, what are you doing? Take back the Senate. You got guns, use them. Graham told Capitol Police, according to an extensive report from the Washington Post, which described Graham as irate, that senators were forced to leave their chambers during the storming of the Capitol. We give you guns for a reason, he said. Use them. The Washington Post stated the quotes were based on an unnamed Republican senator with knowledge of the incident. Graham's office confirmed the quotes are accurate in a statement to Fox News on Monday. Graham was quite clear on this point, noting the backpacks and other items brought into the Capitol could have contained bombs and explosives, of course, which they didn't. The damage could have been much, much worse. Wasn't a whole lot of damage. One window got knocked out. Graham also called Ivanka Trump, former President Donald Trump's only daughter, multiple times, and gave suggestions on what the then president should say, according to the report. "You got to get those people out of there," he reportedly told her. "This thing's going south. It's not good. You're going to have to tell all these people to stand down." Graham has also long slammed the storming of the Capitol, saying on January 7th that warning shots and lethal force should have been used once they penetrated the seat of the government. "Yesterday, they could have blown the building up. They could have killed us all," he said at the time. "People coming through the windows had backpacks as big as my desk on the Senate. They should have been challenged. Warning shots should have been fired. Lethal force should have been used once they penetrated the seat of government. Those backpacks could have had bombs, chemical agents, weapons. We dodged a major bullet yesterday." Not like he was scared shitless. Maybe he needs to start wearing adult diapers, just like the president does now. I guess he needed an adult diaper when he was over in Rome meeting the Pope, according to the reports that came out. He said that he also pointed to the rioting at the courthouse in Portland, Oregon in 2020, saying violence gets worse if such behavior is not addressed and managed by the legal system and local leaders. He's all worried about law and order. Trump called out Graham, as well as Senator Mike Lee, in September as unwilling to fight for the presidency of the United States after reports that Graham was unpersuaded by Trump's claim of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Graham, however, has continued supporting a potential run in 2024 presidential run by Trump. Well, anyway, they were unpersuaded. Well, you know, this election fraud just keeps rolling out. I don't know how much longer it's going to take before they realize that there was I think there was a lot of fraud. I mean, we got, investigations and audits, and we got statements by law enforcement officials claiming that there was all kind of bogus and suspicious activity, false ballots and illegal ballots. I mean, how long does this have to go on before this is taken serious? Now, here's another article. You ain't going to believe this crap. Gateway Pundit. Florida school board member chaperones little children on gay bar field trip. You believe this crap? What the hell's going on with these schools? A school board member in Florida is under fire for chaperoning children on a gay bar field trip. The teachers felt this was a necessary experience for the kids who looked to be around 9 to 10 years old. School board member Sarah Leonardi said it was an honor for her on her social media accounts. You know, they need to get rid of these people and get them out of those school boards. I don't know what, how do they get on these school boards? Taking kids to a gay bar. Jeez, that went annual field trip, of all places, to take them to a gay bar. I mean, this is just unbelievable. She said that this Leonardi said, "The students and I had a fun walk over and learned a lot about our community. A huge thank you to Rosie's Bar and Grill for hosting this special field trip every year." Oh, geez. I just... Washington Examiner's not posting the photos out of respect for the underage children. I mean, this is what goes on in these damn schools. It's not just critical race theory. You got cover-ups of sexual attacks. Now, as Clint mentioned, you got another school official in Loudoun who's accused of, what, raping or molesting students? I mean, this crap just, it just keeps getting worse. So anyway, just going to give you two on the last go-around. Everybody's pretty much coming in. Jesse's a little weak, but I can still copy him, but everybody else is doing pretty well. Russ is coming in good. Bob's coming in good. Everybody's, I got the radio here kind of on the side table, so I'm not really watching the yes meter too much. I'm redoing my shack. I'm going from into an L-shaped table, and I still kind of got things just kind of thrown around. I got everything connected up, but it's not set up the way it's going to be once it's all done. So the radio is kind of on my right side, and I'm sitting here looking ahead at the computer screen. Got my nice big monitor in here finally. Got a this thing looks to be about a 35-inch monitor, so I can read better now. So anyway, thanks to everybody that checked in, and thanks for running the net. Bob did a great job as usual. Glad Clint's daughter got home. No problems, no bad news there. But so anyway, I guess we'll see you Wednesday or next weekend. 73's to all, and we'll catch you later. KAHJOY, True Liberty Net. This is KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. It's interesting how they make it such a big deal about the January 6th incident. Yet the Capitol Police directed people in there, and the only person that was killed was the Ashley Babbitt from Lieutenant Byrd, who killed an unarmed female that was a United States veteran. That is a sad, sad event, and they still don't address it properly. Thank you, Bill. Mr. Jesse, KG4, CX Tennessee, your final thoughts, over.
Okay, roger, roger, Bob, and thanks for running the net. Still readable?
Much better.
Okay, roger, roger. Yeah, we've been having some technical difficulties here. All right, well, anyway, let's see. This is KG4ZXC in the Saturday Night Leading Net. Jesse up here in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania. In the voter fraud stand, PA. Once again, I can't leave the net without at least bringing up one voter fraud article. And I'll make it quick, guys. Lawsuit filed against Michigan's dishonest Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. Legal group found nearly 26,000 potential dead voters on voter rolls. 4,000 dead for at least 20 years. So there's the headline on that. Anyway, yet another lawsuit had been filed against the dishonest Secretary Jocelyn Benson. The lawsuit filed by the Public Interest Legal Foundation across Benson and neglecting her duty. Wow, I couldn't even pronounce that. Anyway, to remove dead voters from the voting roll in violation of the state of NVRA, National Voter Registration Act. The NVRA clearly states election officials must conduct a general program that makes a reasonable effort to make and remove names on eligible voters for the official list of the eligible voters. So, finally, somebody's getting a little bit of a butt-chewing for that, and I hope they nail for whatever they can get her, because this voter fraud, one man, one vote, one woman, one vote. No if, ands, or buts, ain't no in-between. Show up in person or you don't vote at all. And
I'll leave it at that. And, hey, if you guys want to check us out further, go to LibertyNetRadio.org. Yes, that is LibertyNet. LibertyRadio.org. I'll get right here, Bob. And thanks everybody who's checked in tonight. Good to hear everybody. Things will be cleaned up quite well. Money and all together. So thank you, Bob, for running the net, and everybody on the frequency. And God bless this great country, and God save America. This is KT4ZXC, and let's go, Biden.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon. KG4ZX Tennessee, KHLY. I'm going to say hi to Miss Laura, N2JTT, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, listening. Down to Mr. Gary in the state of New Jersey, Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha, and an X-ray. Mr. Gary, what say you, and what do you know about your Essex County motor machines? Any change?
Oh, okay, Bob. K-A-J... Oh, there's my frogs again. J-O-Y. W-B-2-J-A-X. No, I don't know nothing new about that, but I can, you know, just guess the state of New Jersey is so crooked, it's not going to be good for, you know, for the Republican. It's all going to be fading. I'm surprised that the Senate, you know, the one from the Senate that got booted by the truck driver, I'm surprised that he's still not protesting. But anyway, last thing I got is one new board, school board member on our school board in Point Pleasant Borough. My wife and I wanted all three of the women to get on, but only one of them made it. She booted one of the regulars off, so hopefully maybe she can make a big dent in how these people react to mandates and all this other children being subjected to, I don't know what you want to call it, it's ridiculous. But anyway, and also, a good book about the German POW and the German people from April 1945. Eisenhower wanted to starve all the German POWs. Well, I mean, the German military SS, I'm not sure about the regular infantry soldiers and artillery, but I do know the SS are criminals, and they've been proven that over and over again. But anyway, the book's called Other Losses, and it's about the starvation of the German people, civilians, and the POWs right after World War II. All right, thanks for everybody checking in, and it's been a great night. I love this night. KAAJOYWB2JAX.
Well, thank you, Gary. We appreciate your attendance. Thank you for being with us. Keep joining us. We'd love to have you. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-ray. Let's see. Let me go down to Mr. Russell. KK4WX. Mr. Russ, your final thoughts, sir.
Okay. Bob, KAAJOY. Liberty Net. Net Control, this is KK4WX and the 73 round. Good comments all the way around, guys. Enjoyed it. And I don't really have a lot to say on this one except for been watching some of the financial news and whatnot, and from the guy that I listen to on AFR radio, if you've ever heard him, he's really good. Dan Celia, he runs, he's got a, I guess he calls it, what does he call it, a mission or something, but anyway, it's for, mainly for Christians or people that want to invest in companies
that is biblically responsible. So, you know, I think for a little bit, not much money. There's two different levels of joining his ministry. But I think the lowest level is about $75 a year. And, well, and for any of you folks that may have a ways to retire or whatever, he's certainly worth listening to. And even if you're retired, he might have something interesting for you. But he's always up to date on things. And, of course, needless to say, inflation is really almost out of control. And I don't know what the future really holds there. But I've noticed here locally, and I don't know if this has got to do with all the backup of all the container ships and everything that's, you know, in these ports. And I've heard one thing or another, just like Governor DeSantis has encouraged them to come to Florida, Jacksonville. And of course, we've got another port right there at Savannah's a big port. Also, Brunswick, Georgia has got a big port for unloading automobiles and whatnot. But, you know, the strangest thing, I don't see any Chevrolets at the Chevrolet dealer, Harley. I don't know what they've got going on. And I haven't really noticed a whole lot of Fords either. So not that I've been looking. I certainly don't need a vehicle right now. But, you know, it's been quite a few months now that I just don't see any vehicles on the lot. So have we turned our... ourselves and made ourselves so reliant on Chinese parts and this and that? I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. Looks to me like we could build our own cars and automobiles and stuff without having to rely on China for parts. But if we're going to do this, then we obviously would be in a hell of a mess if we had to go to war with them, because then where would we get our parts for our military vehicles and one thing or another? I'm just saying, I don't know. That's a crazy mess when our American companies are so interested in the bottom dollar and get things as cheap as they can. And where are the good old unions? I mean, unions are supposed to protect the American worker. But yet they're going along with the Democrats and whatnot for the most part. Why is this? I don't understand. The unions are by far and wide, they're always mostly for the Democrats. And the Democrats are the ones that's, just like Biden and his sneaky Chinese deals and his son Hunter and all of it. I don't know what all kind of ties they got with China, but I can promise you something's going on there. I don't know. Looks to me like we're all tied into China, and we just can't seem to pull loose. Our pharmaceutical companies, now they're buying farmland here in the United States, and we're letting them get away with it. It's certainly gone insane. So, folks, we're in a mess. And also, I noticed a lot of the shelves in the grocery stores and whatnot are some items are starting to get slim again and whatnot. We've got to get this country back under control and get it back in good hands and get these evil people out of office. let's all pray and really work hard to get these people booted out, get the right people back in office. And if nothing else, we won't see a change unless we can fix this 2020 election. I'm kind of with Mike Lindell there. If we keep these Dominion voting machines, which it looks like we are, at least the state of Georgia, I don't know, our governor and our secretary of state worked out a deal with Dominion. It looks to me like that was an underhanded deal that I don't even know if it was ever agreed on with the legislatures. We've got that, and then these mail-in ballots. If we don't get back to doing away with mail-in ballots and these drop boxes and these Dominion voting machines, I don't know if we'll ever have another fair election. Back over to you, Bob. Enjoyed the net tonight, and I wish everybody a real good week coming up. K-A-8-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
Thank you, Russell. KK4WX, it's a pleasure having you with us. I went back to your QRZ page again. I love that photo of that dog looking at you with such admiration. That's such a good photograph. But you're right, we've got to get this under control. We've got to get these evil people out. Pray for this country. Pray for some better leaders. And again, sit down and write to the Washington, D.C. mayor's office about the political prisoners. Make your voices heard. I don't know what more that we can do. So, thank you, Russell. Let me jump down to Mr. Dan in the great state of Virginia, where they have the new governor, NW4NS. Mr. Dan, I'm going to come to you with the final thoughts on this Saturday Night Liberty Day.
Well, thank you, everybody. I was just sitting here kind of, jotting a few things down as I heard people bringing them up. Everybody
kind of forms in my head.
When you hear about Loudoun County and all the shenanigans up there and what all's coming out, I can say as a Virginian, and Laurel back me up on that, that they do not represent us. Those guys are D.C. reporters. They're part of the Beltway, and for whatever reason they run off. Up there that stay up there, Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, I wish they were their own state. There's a lot of people that have been wanting to see them from their own state. They deserve their own representation. They are from Virginia. But, the thing about Lindsey Graham, and what he said about the support such things, he took a line of, and I think everybody pretty much knows that he took a mealy-mouthed, weak-kneed liberal in Republican. But, he is hopefully moldable a little bit. But, all this stuff that's going on, the whole gay bar thing started the other day. I wish I could say I was shocked, but I wasn't. There's very little to shock people. I looked at Fox News, and here's more of it. Just being insanity. And I'm firmly hooked. I'm a religious person, I grew up as a Baptist, and that's how I roll. And, I've had some things happen in my life, the past couple of years that have really brought me back to life. And what I see is just, evil is among us. It is just alive and thriving. And I think a lot of stuff has got to happen. I hate to say it, but as we see in Virginia in this election, which a lot of people think would actually happen, people finally got to a certain point where they've been fed enough crap that they said enough is enough. And I think, the country as a whole is going to have to do the same thing. I think, the stimulus package is just the House just passed. Some version of that's going to end up passing. And it's going to hurt. And the shortages and the container ships and the fact that we're coming up short on parts from China and Mexico. All this stuff, I think, is going to happen before people finally see the big picture of just how bad it really is and start to stand up and say, this is stupid, people. We got to fix it. And we
God's blessing on this country. That's how we started that decade, that we've lost that. And if we don't have that,
Bob, KK4WX.
All right, Mr. Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to make a correction to Mr. Bill, KO4FP. I know he it's an honest mistake, but I agree with him on Jesse Helms. Jesse Helms was a good senator, but Lindsey Graham did not replace Jesse Helms. Lindsey Graham is a South Carolinian senator. He's a senator from South Carolina. Jesse Helms was a senator from North Carolina, not South Carolina, but North Carolina. So back to you, Bob, KAAJOY from KK4WX.
All righty, Russell. Well, thank you. I wanted to tell you, and I forgot. So there are rows and rows and rows and acres of Chevy trucks, Chevy Equinoxes, Ford trucks. Most of these motor vehicles are missing the Chinese computer chip for the body control module. The trucks will start up, you'll have your fuel gauge, and I think your oil or your water. I don't remember which one it is. You won't have your radio, you won't have your navigation, you won't have your climate control, you won't have your wipers, you won't have your cruise control. These vehicles will only start up under the engine control module, and they're missing the brain to the body control module. And they're sitting, and there are acres of trucks waiting to be put back into the dealership's hands. Over.
Well, I don't know who this guy here that's intentionally, maliciously interfering here. He's not identifying or whatever, but I was unaware of what the problem was. Is this with Fords and Chevrolets, or is this with all the U.S. manufacturers, Bob? Over.
I've not heard anything about Chrysler Corporation or Jeep. Only about General Motors Corporation and Ford Motor Corporation.
Okay, only about Ford and Chevrolet. Okay, well, that explains why the Fords and Chevrolet car dealerships are really low on cars, okay, or trucks or whatever have you. So, well, that's a shame. Looks to me, looks like be able to make their own, whatever you call it, with their own chips or whatever this item is, this computer or whatever that goes in these vehicles. Silicon Valley and everything else that we've got in this country that can develop chips and computers and whatnot, and we got to rely on China? This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but unfortunately, we've relied on them, and they say in articles that it would take a year for America to start producing their own chips, their own brains to the body control module in Silicon Valley. So, how silly of America to rely on China, it's just totally wrong. All righty, Mr. Russell, thank you. Appreciate the QSO with me, KK4WX. I'm going to go down to the fire chief, Mr. Richard, your final thoughts tonight on the 73 round. KN4, Mike Alpha Alpha, KA8GOY. KN4, Mike Alpha Alpha. Mr. Rich, are you still with us? Mr. Larry, it's good to hear you. Let me put you in. N4ROQ. I'm close to the end, but I am ready for your thoughts.
All right, I don't think the fellow is going to come in there. I think you gave him plenty of time there.
Okay, I can go ahead.
Regarding, I found a good article here, and on the Israelis are testing a massive,
well, they already have it.
They're having some tests on the inflatable missile detection system, and they began this past week, a massive inflatable missile detection system designed to hover at high altitudes and detect long-range threats. Israel already boasts an array of sophisticated missile defenses. The high availability aerostat system resembles a giant blimp or zeppelin. The Defense Ministry says it's one of the world's largest systems of its kind. It was developed in cooperation with a subsidiary of state-owned Israel Aerospace Industries and TCOM, the U.S. aerostat manufacturer. So it's something like a zeppelin. They put that thing up in the air and they can detect all over the place. Being us, we could put some antennas up in the air with a zeppelin there while we need them during the net. Wouldn't that be neat? So it might be something to think about. I found an article regarding G20 in conference. It endorses a global cooperative minimum. This is from Rome, from the Associated Press, USA Today. It says leaders of the world's largest economies on Saturday endorsed a global minimum tax on corporations as part of an agreement on new international tax rules. And we've got this G20 conference, they're wanting to put taxes on all the businesses all over the world. This is a step toward building more fairness and amid skyrocketing revenues of sudden multinational businesses. So they're wanting to take the money from these businesses that are working hard and raising and trying to make a living. They're wanting to put a tax on it. There's a move by the Group of 20 Summit in Rome. It was hailed by Treasury Secretary Janet L. Yellen as benefiting American businesses and workers. G20 finance ministers in July had agreed on a 15% minimum tax. Its formal endorsement at the summit Saturday in Rome of the world's economic powerhouses was widely expected. Yellen had predicted in a statement that the deal on new international tax rules with a minimum global tax, this is going to be a global tax, will end the damaging race to the bottom on corporate taxation. The deal did fall short of President Joe Biden's original call for a 21% minimum tax. Still, Biden tweeted his satisfaction. So Biden wanted a 21% minimum tax on the corporations all over the world. But this group agreed on a 15% minimum tax. And that's something that's nice for them to be running the U.S. and the whole world putting a tax on a corporation. Here at the G20, leaders represent 80% of the world's GDP, allies and competitors alike made clear their support
for a strong global minimum tax. The president tweeted, this is a tax deal. It's diplomacy reshaping our global economy and delivering for our people. So this is taking for the people that are working and giving it, it's sort of like taking away from the people that are working and giving it to people that are not. In other words, if you want to tax anyone, these corporations that are in business, and what that does, they can just turn around on their product and go up on it, so the product will just cost more. So this is just skyrocketing money and skyrocketing prices for products. So you guys need to look for that. And also, I've been having a good time watching on TV the hat for Hitler. And they have several people that have said that Hitler came into Argentina and Paraguay back in the 40s, late 40s. He didn't really die there at the end of the war. And there was Martin Bormann involved, and they started a Fourth Reich. I don't know how far they got on it, but they did try to build a nuclear plant, and they had a friend by the name of Dr. Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R. He had a nuclear plant going in Argentina to try to build up nuclear material for nuclear weapons for the they were going to call it the Fourth Reich. And they were working on nuclear technology at that time. And they went to the laboratory where it was at. It was on a little island in that area of Argentina. And they've got a group of people investigating all these different things. And they've run down a lot of different Nazis that were in that area in Argentina, in Paraguay, and they had even weapons factories over there, ammunition factories, weapons factories. Fritz Mandel was one of the guys over the one of the weapons factories. So just because they got big in the war, they went to other countries and did other things. So they've come out with a lot of eyewitnesses that Hitler was there, along with Martin Bormann and other different people. So if you want to study up on that a little bit, that was on one of the history channels, and they had that on TV. Now I've been watching it on TV. So, well, I thought that was neat. N4OQ Friday. I got one other thing I wanted to bring out that, you know, all these people that are on Facebook, Facebook is shutting down their face recognition. So what they've been doing all the time, you people are, I haven't signed in to Facebook, but they have had facial recognition on there, and they've got your face and the recognition in your recognition system. And I'll read some of this. It's pretty interesting, and I won't take up too much of the next time. It says Facebook said it would shut down its face recognition system and delete the face prints of more than 1 billion people. Here they are. They got 1 billion people's face print on there, and they're getting sued, but it looks like, by different people, and they're trying to, I'm sure they're not going to do away with them, but they say they're going to delete them, but who knows. Let's see, this is people amid growing concerns about the technology and its misuse by governments and police and others. The change will represent one of the largest shifts in facial recognition usage in the technology's history. Jerome Pisani, Vice President of Artificial Intelligence for Facebook's new parent company, Meta,
wrote in a blog post on Tuesday, its renewal will result in the dilution of more than a billion people's individual facial recognition templates. He said the company was trying to weigh the positive use cases for the technology against growing societal concerns, especially as regulators have yet to provide clear rules. On down, more than a third of Facebook's daily active users have opted in to have their faces recognized by the social network system. That's about 640 million people. But Facebook had recently begun scaling back its use of facial recognition. Let's see, moving on down. The company in 2019 did its practice. Also, facial recognition can be particularly valuable when the technology operates privately on a person's own devices. The method of on-device facial recognition requiring no communication of face data with internal server is most commonly deployed today in a system used to unlock smartphones. So people unlock your smartphone and watch you while you're looking at it on the smartphone. So just because you got it here doesn't mean that they can't get your face and look at and what you're saying and everything and what you're doing on your smartphone. So just remember that this is going on, I'm sure, to the government and to other people that really, really got a big dossier on all of us. So just remember that. So back to you up there. I won't take up any more time there. Bob, enjoyed the part of the net that I got to listen to, and you have a good night up there. K88JY from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee.
Well, Mr. Larry, I have to say, you're talking about the facial recognition. The police department, we had Lenovo, L-E-N-O-V-O computers in our cars, but they're a Chinese base, and they come to find out that computer that's in the car that we're running stuff that's rather, you know, touchy. It's leads, it's your driver's license information, your criminal history and that, was kind of being watched. So our agency got rid of them and went back to Texas Instruments. Computer, that's not what we went to. I'm trying to think, I can't. They were called Toughbooks. Panasonic, whatever the Toughbook was, I think it's Panasonic. So, and the other thing that you made me think about, you know, the Siri and Google. You've got to realize those devices are always listening because they're waiting for you to say Siri and they're waiting for you to say Google. So everything that's being said is going into that device and being stored in a temporary memory. Over.
Okay, so if you say Google or whatever else you said there, then they start recording. Let me ask you this. Is there certain words that you say on the telephone that trigger your telephone call to be recorded, or is it just recorded anyway?
No.
The phone calls, to my knowledge, are not recorded, but there is scanning that's done of word usage, especially like in Facebook. If you would use like the word assassination or something, there are words that are being looked for, but as far as your cell phone voice, that's not being recorded. But I guess the text message is always stored. I can go back and subpoena somebody's cell phone usage. There was I had a traffic crash, and I know the girl was texting. So I went back and subpoenaed her cell phone record, and it lets me give a date of start and a date of end. And every text message to every person she sent in that 24-hour period, I can read.
Roger. All right.
it surprised me that the facial recognition was on Facebook like it was, probably still is. Don't know if they'll really get rid of it, but I'm sure, I've heard it's in Walmart, and it's in a lot of probably other stores also. But they've got these recorders and cameras all over the store, and they watch you as you move around, so they know everyone that's in there pretty much, don't they?
Yep, there's way too much stuff being watched, and I know Jesse really thinks about it. So I have no Google device, and I have no Hey Siri device. Those things are too much intrusion into your home. But again, I have a smartphone. I always shut the lid to my laptop. Even though my camera, I've got that little lens covered, I still shut the lid and put it to sleep. And I put my cell phone face down when I'm charging on a towel, so I don't hear it as loud, but I put it face down so the camera can't be going. But let's face it, there's a camera in the back of it, so it's really a difficult thing to deal with. Alrighty, well, that's the last of the people. Let me reach out and see if anybody has a final comment before I close the door. This is KJY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
That's KK4WX.
Go ahead, Mr. Rock.
I just got one little thing to add to that. It's Larry and you were talking about on the iPhones or telephones. I noticed that when I get into my truck, it syncs up to my truck's audio system, and I can just, you know, you were talking about voice recognition or whatever. I can just, you know, I can say, "Hey Siri," like that, and I gotta watch out because I got it laying here beside me. And then I can say, "Call so and so," and it'll pick up on it and it'll call. I mean, just that simple. I don't have to push any buttons or anything. So, also, when you're going through the line at Walmart, at least here in my hometown, they have, you know, like a computerized screen and whatnot that you sort of tap on it and you tell it that you want to, you know, it's a self-checkout thing. If it's a self-checkout thing, I'm not talking about the one where you have somebody that's manning it, but if you're doing a self-checkout, well, they got a computerized screen that's got a camera built in it, and it comes on and it's recording your face the whole entire time that you're, you know, doing your transacting and scanning your goods and paying for it and whatnot. And another thing that brings to mind is this is the only time that I would think that wearing a mask might be a good idea, and that's when you go to Walmart and you have to go through one of those checkouts. Maybe wearing a mask is not such a bad idea when you go through the checkout line there, Bob. KAJOY from KK4WA.
That's an interesting thought. That would be a good time to wear a mask and a pair of sunglasses and a hoodie.
Yeah, Roger, absolutely.
Good thought, Russ. Thank you for adding that. All righty. One more time, let me see if I have any last-minute comments. This is KAJOY with the great Saturday Night Liberty Net.
NW4NS.
Mr. Dan, who I have personally met from the great state of Virginia. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, Robert, do you have a cat to grab up and check out?
Nope, I don't have no big kitty to grab. I don't have any doors to lock because they're already locked. I will turn and dim the light, and I'm going to tell my computer to go to sleep, but there's no kitty to drag because this isn't a rag-chew group. This is an actual net, Dan.
And are we allowed to
set
that out? I mean, this thing's been burned out of me. I don't know if I can play this, but...
Hey, Angel P said the word join tonight, and I almost threw up on my microphone.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, hopefully the phone call took care of some a little bit of this, whatever. Anything else, Mr. Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Dan from Down the Band. We conversed most through the week, but he came up here to join us. So, and I did have a cat, Madison. She was a Siamese cat. I really, really like Siamese cats, but she's gone, and it's kind of nice not having an animal to take care of. But I don't have to. And you know what, Dan? I'm not doing any emails tonight.
No emails?
No emails. I don't know who writes that, man, but somebody has to start writing or he's a slow sailor.
Well, I think probably types of one fingers, but,
yeah, we call that pecking, but, alrighty. Let's see, Flint says, I have a German short hair pointer and my Siberian Husky. Well, maybe Mr. Clint will take his dogs and put them away for the night, like Down the Band, we put the big kitty cat. All righty, group, it's been a pleasure. 10 people with us tonight, that's great. Thank you for your thoughts. Pray for this country, and maybe sit down and write a couple letters, especially to Washington, D.C.'s mayor about the way they're treating the January 6th Trump supporters. I think I would call them patriots, and I would not use that word insurrection, because that was not an insurrection. With that being said, as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to Silent Keys, W1WCR, W9FAM, KE8INE, KN4CF, M3DVA, W2WCW, W8MTB, K4GAR, KB2DYD, KE2LO, and KI2J. Mr. Marty said there's another one that I have to add, so I've got to look into that, and I will add it. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country. God bless America, bless our soldiers and our first responders. With that being said, good night. 73, this is Kilo Alpha 8, Julia, Oscar, and a Yankee.
Are you leaving? Oh, man, I thought maybe you could stick around and, maybe you'll make a detail.
Do you have a call letter? Yeah, I thought so.
What's going on?
All right, in the air tomorrow night. Roger, roger. There'll be a couple text messages, I'm sure.
Maybe you can stick around. Maybe you'll meet the big
crowd. Thank you, Robert. Have a good night.